Welcome to OnlyFans Q&A Live, a question and answer show exclusive to OnlyFans and Miami Dolphins Discord server. Now, here's your host, Alf.
And we're on, and this is OnlyFans Q&A Live for April the 18th, 2024. We are 7 days away from the 2024 NFL Draft. If you want to participate in these Q&As that we do every single week on Wick, did I say John Wick? On OnlyFans Q&A Live, if you want to participate, you can become a member at discord.gg/OnlyFans, and you become a member there for $3 a month. This show, as always, is brought to you by, for you out-of-staters, Prize Picks. Use the promo code 5, F-I-V-E. You deposit $100, you get $100. It's as simple as that. And of course, Better Edge. Go to betteredge.com/5 reasons. You get $20 just for signing up. All right, we're 7 days away from the draft. Dolphins signed another special teamer. They're taking that pretty seriously this year. It seems that way, right? No movement on Odell Beckham. Maybe he is waiting for June 2nd. That's my guess, anyway. Chris and I did a collaboration with Kyle Krabs on Locked On Dolphins. You could check that out on YouTube. Pretty cool. Simon went on with Omar Kelly and Alan Poupart. That was a pretty damn good show. I watched that from cover to cover. It's really, really informative. Simon is so good at this, okay? If you want to get his draft guide, you have to creep into his DMs on Twitter. Now, you're listening to this on OnlyFans. If you are a vetted member, you get it for free. You got that? Free. If not, we'll make it available to everybody else on OnlyFans as well. But if you're a vetted member, you get it for free. If you want to get it and you are on Twitter, you have to go to @SIClancy, C-L-A-N-C-Y, and DM him. Hey, I want this thing. It's 129,000 words. I get his draft guide every single year. It's as good as any out there. Very, very informative. A lot of insight on all these prospects. Like, he knows the ins and outs of every single one of these guys. So, you know, I really do recommend that you get it. We'll be talking about that more in the days to come. But I'm going to be bringing on a couple of people on here, and then I'm going to answer all your questions. And for next week, we're going to have a surprise on OnlyFans Q&A Live. And you shall see who that is next week. But first, I'm going to bring you on and bring one of our members on. And as I bring you on, identify yourself to the audience so they know who you are.
Hi, good afternoon, Alf. This is Dundee Dolphin.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I have two questions. First one's just really, what's changed? Was there anything that's caught your attention this week? How do you feel differently about the run into the draft for Miami than you did last week, if at all?
Yeah, I do feel a little bit different. You know that meme of the guy walking down the street with his girlfriend and he looks back at another girl? I didn't particularly like this safety crop when I first looked at it. The more I look at it, I'm liking like 4 or 5 guys. And let's face it, you like 4 or 5 guys, and pretty much all of them, except one notable one, are day two prospects. That's a loaded class, because you're going to have 4 or 5 guys just staring at you at 55. Chris Greer's comments this week seem to hint that, you know, they're going to have somebody that they like at 21, which means they'll probably use that pick. Which means if they want more ammunition to attack this draft, 55 is probably for sale. Or they're going to trade one of those threes from last year. So, I mean, from next year, the compensatory picks, which they're going to have three third round picks, I believe, right now, as of right now. So they could always trade one of those for a third this year. That could happen. you know, and usually those are easier to obtain. That type of trade is easier to make. If not, man, I'm thinking that they'll trade 55, you know, but I really do like this. The safety class is getting, it's getting better by the day. Any other questions?
Yeah, I know in pretty short succession, the Eagles extended Devontae Smith this week, and the Dolphins kind of announced taking the fifth-year option on Jalen Waddle. I just wonder what, you know, there's probably not a really clean right or wrong about that, but just what you thought were the pros and cons for us and whether we did the thing that was best for us of those two options.
Yeah, the pros are that now they have a framework to work on, and I think it's a pretty favorable one. I think they got lucky with that deal. It could have gone completely sideways. Here's the problem. Jamar Chase is coming up as well. Cincinnati could absolutely destroy whatever leverage Miami gained from this deal. So I think they got to move on Jalen Waddle. I always heard that the first in line was Javon Holland. I think you got to move on Jalen Waddle as soon as possible before some of these other deals start getting done. And, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown is also up. Once these deals, I believe did he get his deal already? I'm not so sure. But once these deals start coming off the board, you know, you could get priced way up. So, man, I think you could use the framework from the Devonta Smith deal. You know, tack on a premium and go from there. And I think that is a favorable contract. You know, it's better than what I thought it could have been. You know, it's not even a long commitment either. It's essentially just 3 years, you know, for a young player, you know, which is smart on Devonta Smith's, you know, part. First of all, you're going to be rich once you sign this deal, right? And then he's thinking, you know what, I'm double dipping. I'm getting two big contracts in my career. You know, because he's going to be smack dab in his prime when he's up in essentially 3 years.
Anything else? That's an interesting wrinkle, isn't it? Yeah, thank you. Thanks very much.
Yep. All right. Let me get into some questions here. There's plenty in the chat. Let me check the first question. All right, this is a pretty good one. Alf, rank these players as prospects: Jamar Chase, Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle, compared to this year's top three: Neighbors, Romy, and Harrison. Okay, if we're going to rank them as prospects, just as prospects, okay, if we go back to that draft, I had them ranked Smith, Chase, Waddle, and then I changed my mind and ended up with Chase, Smith, Waddle. Okay, that's how I had it then. In this draft, I have it Harrison, Neighbors, Romy. Okay, now we're going to put them all together as prospects, not after what we saw what they are. Look, I really like Jamar Chase. Problem is that he has an injury bug he's going to have to get over. Okay, but when he's healthy, he's the best in the crop of Chase, Smith, Waddle. I do believe Waddle is a little bit better than Devonta Smith, although I do like Devonta Smith. He's a really good player. And we're going to toss him in just as prospects. Overall, Harrison is the best of the six. He just is. And if I had to rank it, how about Harrison, Chase? And remember, it's not what we know now. It's as prospects. Remember that I liked Smith better than Waddle, okay? Let me see how I'm going to do this. Harrison, Chase, Neighbors, Smith, Waddle, Romy. How does that sound? I'm giving him more thought. I really do like Neighbors. Do I like Neighbors more than Waddle? You know what? Let me do it again. Harrison, Chase, Smith, Waddle, Neighbors, Romy. Okay? I'll do it that way because Neighbors, Romeo Odunze, I can interchange. I think they're both fabulous prospects, okay? But I do believe that of the six, Harrison is the best of the six. There's everything there. Complete wide receiver. He is going to be, he's going to be a problem. The only thing that screw him up is he goes to the wrong place. You know, who knows what that place could be? All right, next question. Do you see McCaffrey being a target if he's there in round five or six, Luke McCaffrey? Well, you heard all the tie-ins, right? He has a relative on the coaching staff, okay? His dad was a Bronco. We know Mike McDaniel's attachment to the Denver Broncos. So, yeah, I could absolutely see it. Do I like him as a player? I like many, 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 many others. Okay? So, no. Even in round five or six, I think I could venture to guess there'll be a better player there. You know, because it's such a deep class. He doesn't really figure in on my board. Let's just say that. You know, he will be a priority UDFA. I'll tell you that right now. But he's not going to make it to UDFAs. He's not going to be a UDFA. He will get drafted day three. All right. Devontae Sweat have a large drop from his DWI 1,000,000%. People don't. You know, teams don't like to see stuff like that, man. They just don't like to see it, okay? That shows a lack of intelligence, first of all. You know, you're about to get paid. Look, you could get an advance from an agent. Like, you know, you ask your agent, hey, man, can you throw me $100,000? They'll throw you $100,000. Like, that's not a problem. Which means you're relatively wealthy for a college kid, and forget about, you know, what you earned on NIL. You probably have a couple of bucks, right? So, how the hell can't you get an Uber, man? Or car service? You can call your agent. All you got to do is call your agent. Hey, I'm at this party. Can you send me a car? Yeah, I'll send you a car. I'll have somebody pick you up right away. No. DWI. That's just dumb. So, yeah, that's going to hurt his draft stock. That's a fact. All right, we got a couple more in the queue. I'm going to get to them, and then I'll get to your questions in the chat. All right, as I bring you up, identify yourself for the audience so they know who you are. All right, you're up.
Hey, Alf. Hey, this is my name's Cam, a longtime member of OnlyFans, but first time calling in. Really appreciate you having me on.
No problem.
So something Greer said during his presser really stood out to me when he was talking about the state of the defensive tackle room.
Mm-hmm.
He said that Weaver did a great job presenting his vision for the position and even like used visuals to get across his idea to the staff, which instantly brought me back to McDaniel in his like 1,000-hour Tua tape.
Yeah.
That he made everyone watch, trying to convince everyone of his vision that Tua needed weapons. So makes me think of that. And I'm just curious what you think, based on who we brought in, what Weaver's version of that vision is. Because from what I can tell, it pretty much looks like zero tech versatility is what's most important with Neville Gallimore, with Benito Jones, with Tyre Tart. They're both able to kind of step inside, outside. Mm-hmm. Just curious what you think that vision, what he's trying to sell to his staff.
Well, he had a very revealing introductory press conference, right? And I love that question when he was asked, hey, you know, speaking of defense, what is it? Essentially, you know, what is your system? Because we don't know. All right. I essentially wasted my time charting his defense that he ran in Houston. Turns out that was just Romeo Crennel's defense. But when he spoke about it at his press conference, you know, he was actually pretty revealing. He essentially said, yeah, remember the guy that was here before me that got that job? Yeah, I'm doing that. And if you saw the Ravens defense last year under McDonald, it's very multiple. There's a lot of 50. There's 50 fronts, which is a great thing. You don't have Christian Wilkins anymore. So, you know, maybe it's a little bit different. But you do have Zach Seeley, okay, who, in my opinion, benefited the most out of our 50 fronts last year. You're going to see cover three. It's going to be a lot of zone. So if we're just essentially just copy and pasting from the Ravens defense last year, and, you know, there's no, you know, when training camp comes around, I'm going to see for sure, and I'm going to know for sure But if we're just going to take him at his word and they're going to run the Ravens defense, and I guess he wants to put some wrinkles of his own in there, then what you're going to see is low snap counts for a lot of guys, except Zach Sealer. Zach Sealer is essentially going to be our Matabuike this year. He's our Matabuike on that line, and everybody else is going to have a shared responsibility and low snap counts. I love that idea. Okay. I thought last year it got away from them, and we talked about it on the podcast, and we talked about it here on OnlyFans last year. They shook up the defensive staff and eventually, you know, did fire some of these people. Renato Hill was moved off of personnel last year in favor of Campanelli. And I was bitching about it. Not even when they were losing. I was bitching about it when they were 8-3 or whatever. They were running away with the division at the time. You know, I hate to bring that up again, but I was talking about it then. I was like, they're running these guys right into the ground. You can't play Christian Wilkins and Zach Sealer these many snaps. It's not sustainable. Well, what they've built right now is essentially a fix for that. They're not going to play those guys a ton of snaps. They're going to play a bunch of guys a few snaps, and that's a good thing. I still do believe that they're missing a true zero, unless Benito Jones is really going to take another step forward. He was a good player last year. He's not an upper echelon zero player. He is, I'm not going to call him a jag because he's not. He's a little bit better than a jag. But he's an above average zero. You know, he's an above average zero tech. He is not, you know, a stellar. He's not Michael Pierce. Okay. And who knows? Yeah, maybe he's not even Devontae Sweat. And tying into the previous question, maybe Devontae Sweat is doing us a solid by being an idiot.
Yeah. Something else. Your point's a good one about the amount of snaps we're playing. I do think that our entire seasons can get derailed by injuries because of how heavily dependent we were on certain players in certain positions.
Yep.
Kind of spreading that out makes you a little bit more injury prone, because if we can't fix that injury luck, then we might as well get more players that are able to carry the load. But something else that Greer mentioned about Weaver and about Clark was that they had high priority DTs they wanted to go get, but they also had some that weren't on their radar that actually approached them because they wanted to work with Weaver. They wanted to work with Clark. I'm imagining that's Neville Gallimore due to his connection to Clark, but I'm just curious where you delineate from where he clearly is making an indication that some of these guys weren't in their plans, or some of them were high priority. I'm curious if you can glean between the two and if it's just Neville Gallimore that they're talking about there.
It sounds like Neville Gallimore. It also sounds like the two guys that they originally got. I keep forgetting their names.
Nixon.
Yeah. So, you know, Tier Tart, I think, was a target. And they actually admitted to it, you know, which is weird, right? Because Neville Gallimore got a sweetheart deal. I don't know if you saw his contract. His contract essentially is just a suitcase with $1 million in it, you know? It's fully guaranteed, I think, $1.2 million. So you could tell by these contracts. Like, maybe Harrison can get cut, but Gallimore's not getting cut. It's, you know, how do you go back to your boss, you know, Stephen Ross, and say, hey, I know you gave this guy a suitcase with $1 million in it, but we're cutting him, you know? So, yeah, I think Neville Gallimore is that guy. He's probably the guy that reached out. I think Tier Tart was a target, and it just took him a while to come to terms. Maybe he thought that his market was going to be a little bit better than what it was. Miami got him for you know, real bargain. So,
and yeah. Benito has to be a target as well, right?
Yeah, Benito Jones seems like a target, and that's like an Austin Clark special, you know. And if you're going to trust anybody on this coaching staff, it's going to be Austin Clark, man. That guy don't miss. He's good at what he does. And he was Benito Jones was one of his favorites. And it's obvious that, you know, they went out there. He got exposed to the market, and they snapped him up immediately, you know. I was told when he got snapped up by the Lions this last time, I was told that they were kind of disappointed that they lost him. You know, they thought that they could get him through. They thought that they could get him through waivers and bring him back to the practice squad. You know, the Lions had different ideas.
All right. Yeah, well, all in all, just I feel like that presser made me feel better and better about Weaver, about how much Greer was talking about him, brought him up unprompted about 10 times. So I feel like I feel more comfortable with the DT position, knowing that he has a vision for it. And I don't think it's a first round target that I'm going to kind of be scratching off my board at this point.
Yep. I'm not ready to do that yet. You know, because there's one guy that, and the more I look at him, he seems to me kind of unique in this class. And, you know, I'm not so sure that he's a guy that we should overlook. And that's Darius Robinson, defensive end, you know, edge player from Missouri, 6'5", 285 pounds. He can play everywhere on that line. That gives him a lot of versatility, man. So, you know, and Johnny Newton, man, he could just play. There's going to be good players there at 21. So, you know, when the draft comes and 21 comes around, I don't think that we're going to be sitting around saying, man, this is barren. There's nothing here. We're just going to take a guy for the sake of it. No, I think that that you're going to be drafting a guy that you're going to say, yeah, this guy can play too. You know, this is a really good draft. You know, and it seems like it's a better draft just because it's at all our positions of need, you know. So it's hard to miss. It's going to be hard to miss in the top 100 in this draft. Hopefully they don't.
Yeah, if anything, there's more than one on the board at the time, so you feel comfortable moving up or moving down.
Yep.
And there's someone worth coming up for that's a little bit more desperate at that position, because I think that's where a majority of Dolphins Nation is at this point, wanting to move down and still get some of those high-quality picks if we're going to be picking a player like Darius Robinson who might be available at 25, 26.
Mm. Yep, I completely agree. He's such a unique player. It wouldn't surprise me if there's somebody that moves up for him, because he does seem unique to me in this draft. If we're talking about interior linemen, they all look like cookie cutter three techs, all of them. You know, the edge players, they all seem like the same, you know, sleek, long, you know, speed guys from the outside, nine tech types. Darius Robinson is like a mix of it all. So I'm interested to see where he goes. That's one guy I'm going to be really, really watching closely day one of the draft. All right. Thank you for participating.
Yep, thanks, Alf.
All right, man. All right, I'm going to bring you up, and this is going to have to be the last one because we are jam-packed in the chat. So I want to get to every single one of your questions in the chat. So that's, you know, I need to allow myself a little bit of time. But I'm going to bring up one more that's in the queue. As I bring you up, identify yourself to the audience so they know who you are.
Hey, Alfie Sniper. What's going on?
Hey, man.
Curious, when Greer said he didn't have 21 players with first round grades, curious as to how many you would think would have first round grades, and do you see this draft as like a top 100 heavy and then the rest is kind of meh, or is there a lot of balance in the later in the draft? Is there a lot of value there?
Yeah, I believe later on in the draft, day three, there's going to be good players at day three. Now, as far as you know, how many first round grades I have, that's what you're asking me?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not the most reliable to ask about this because I don't like JJ McCarthy, and he's absolutely going in the first round.
Yeah, he's going to go in the first round.
Okay, so let's do this exercise, all right? Like, look, Marvin Harrison's a lock, and this is going to be off the top of my head, all right? If I miss anybody, let me know. Marvin Harrison's a lock. Caleb Williams, I absolutely love. I think he belongs in all of these classes, at the top of any of these classes. I believe he belonged with Tua Tagovailoa and Justin Herbert in 2020. So, yeah, Caleb Williams absolutely is a guy that I absolutely like and love. Malik Nabers, Joel is a lock. Brock Bowers is going to be the only tight end in the first round. That's five. Jaden Daniels, six. Fashano will go in the first round. Michael Penix, Drake May. That's nine. Romeo Dunze, that's 10. Latu, in my opinion, has to be 11. Jared Verse and then Dallas Turner, that's 13. Graham Barton, 14. Johnny Newton deserves it. That's 15. J.C. Latham, I'm not so sure. But Talisa Fuaga, absolutely. Byron Murphy, absolutely. We're up to 17. Quinyon Mitchell, 18. Troy Fatano, 19. And I'm running out. Am I missing anybody?
The Iowa kid?
Cooper DeJean, yes. Yes, 20. Brian Thomas, 21. And Amarius Mims, 22.
Worthy?
Xavier Worthy, no. No. And I like him. I like him. But it doesn't mean, just because I'm not going to put him in the first round doesn't mean, you know, these are guys that I'm just like absolutely like, oh, I'm running to the podium. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In fact, let me look at Daniel Myers' top 100, Daniel General Myers' top 100 to see if I'm missing anybody. No, that's the list. I got 22 guys.
You said the Penn State OT, right?
Yeah, Fasciano. He was one of the first. Okay. I really like him. Yeah. So others don't. He could be the first. Him or Joe Alt could be the first offensive tackle coming off the board, in my opinion. So I got 22 first-round guys.
Nice.
You know? Yeah. So maybe I could narrow it down, but 22 for now.
Cool.
All right. All right, thank you for participating, unless you have something else.
Nah, that's it.
All right, thank you. All right, I'm going to get to as many of your questions in the chat as I can. Also, heard any interest in the safety market after the draft with that post-June money if they don't draft someone? Man, it's been quiet. Man, I love Quandre Diggs. He's still sitting out there. So it's Justin Simmons for that matter. Man, a good team somewhere is going to add a top five safety. In Justin Simmons. Is Quandre Diggs a top five safety nowadays? Probably not. Is he top 10? Maybe. Would he be gangbusters in our scheme? Yes. You know, he's one of those guys. I love Quandre Diggs. His tape is solid, man. He's one of those guys. Miami wins the Super Bowl. And we're sitting around, you know, sitting by the pool, smoking a cigar, you know, having a nice little tequila and lime. And you're going to say, man, that was a good acquisition, right? That pick that he had in the fourth quarter, you know, against Brock Purdy. That thing sealed that Lombardi for us, man. Quandre Diggs is a stud. Hopefully they bring him back for next year. That's if you can envision it, he's worth it. I envision it. He's a good player. So, but there's no interest, I guess, as of right now. We just don't know. We don't know, and it's been really, really quiet. Somebody's going to get a really good safety, and I hope it's not Buffalo. I hope Buffalo doesn't pop off with Justin Simmons out of nowhere. Okay? Come June. Like, I hope not. You know? Somebody's going to get great safeties. Like, that's the next position that everybody's devaluing, evidently. All right, next question. I think that even with the losses of Hunt, Wilkins, Van Ginkel, and Howard, man, it sounds awful when you put it that way, the team, including the addition of DC Weaver, looks to be better than last year. I agree, especially if you consider two picks in the first two rounds and the probable OBJ pickup. I think he's imperative at this point. And that's me talking, by the way. Am I just smoking crack? No, you are not smoking crack. You are, however, on hopium, but it's good hopium. And I think you're right. I think the team's better. I think the team's going to be better. There's not going to be dysfunction on defense. I don't know what the hell happened last year. Man, you bring in Vic Fangio, and the guy wants to put a $20 million corner out there in the middle of nowhere, you know, not doing anything, you know, guarding people like Alan Lazard. You know, which is weird because that was the only game that they actually put him on Garrett Wilson, you know, and he was great. But, you know, that was a game that Xavier Howard was not available for. So we shall see, you know, but looking good so far. All right. Next question. Hype me up if the pick is Jared Verse. My question would be hype me up if the pick is Jared Verse. Okay. Also, could there be movement to go get Troy Fatano? Troy reminds me of the two a year where Greer tried to move up for Wirfs. Maybe this is a do-over. Man, like, how much ammunition are you willing to expend? Troy Fatano is going to be a problem to get. You know? I don't see it. Like, I think he's going to go way too early. I think the best bet, like, if you could bet it somewhere on a betting site, if they can do this for you, Troy Fatano to the Jets at number 10, or Brock Bowers. In fact, play both. Play those two, and you got a nice little hedge, you know? You should get, just for having those two names, somewhere around 4-1, something like that. Troy Fatano, Brock Bowers at number 10 to the Jets. And that's also a shame because both are great players. Next question. I have one question. Debo, as in Debo Samuel. No. How many expensive wide receivers do you want, man? Next question. Sometimes players don't fit the mold positionally or their measurables are just okay, but then they go on to dominate either by force or will, force of will, or by some other intangible. For example, Kyle Hamilton. Absolutely. Are there any players in your draft notebook whom you think might be that guy this year? Yeah, Cam Kitchens, because I absolutely despise him as a player. But he has some good tape. Okay? Like, there's good tape out there. And remember, sometimes you get, you know, you get too wrapped up in, my God, this guy's slow. And let's face it, Cam Kitchens is slow. He's slow. Like, you know, I could be nice and say, oh, you know, but it doesn't matter. You know, Kyle Hamilton was slow. No, he's slow. Cam Kitchens is slow enough where he's going to actually hurt your ability to play multiple coverages. That is just my opinion. I could be completely wrong, and he could be the guy that could absolutely make me look like a clown if he's actually a great player. His tape is solid. I will say that. All right, next question. Tyreek for Debo and picks. No. Next question. What does the Cam Brown signing tell you about our future roster, particularly for Duke Riley and Channing Tindall? Don't buy houses, guys. Rent for the time being. Okay? First of all, there's savings if you got rid of Duke Riley, although you kind of do need that off-the-ball linebacker. You want to have some depth, man. You saw what happened last year. You take a few injuries, and all of a sudden you're scrambling. I kind of like that, you know, you have good depth, man. With Anthony Walker and Duke Riley, man, you kind of stacked that linebacker behind the two starters in David Long and Jordan Brooks. So, yeah, man. You know, but I would say it's getting crowded in there. Next question. With all our cornerback talent, do we really need another safety? Yes, we do. Okay, we don't have too much at that position once you get past our top three guys. You need five. One has to play. At least two of them have to play heavy special teams, which means you need three to play actual snaps. Remember, the Ravens played a lot of three safety. You know, they had a lot of big nickel. You know, they employed three safeties a lot. You need a third safety. You just do. Next question. I see Chris has shared a list of the top 30 player visits. What are your thoughts on those? What stands out? How many are smoke screens? I don't think none are smoke screens. I think those 30 player visits are legit day two, day three targets, all of them. There's a couple of day one possible targets in there as well. But it seems legitimate. There's no real smoke screens. You know, the real smoke screen is like if all of a sudden they call in Michael Penix, you know. And heaven forbid that happens, you know, Twitter will implode. Would you rather Cooper DeJean at safety or Quandre Diggs? Well, look, Cooper DeJean is a great prospect. Quandre Diggs is a great NFL player. Self-explanatory, isn't it? And I don't think Diggs is going to cost you too much. They might cost you the same thing, actually. You know, long-term fix, DeJean, you know. Good short-term fix, Quandre Diggs, you know. I think there's a couple more questions in here. Do you have a couple possible UDFAs that you would bang the table for? Yeah, a couple. I've mentioned them. You know, I mentioned them on the podcast. Yeah, I kind of like Jalen Phillips. I know the name, man. Safety out of Clemson as a UDFA. You know. Javion Cohen, if he drops out into a UDFA. That's the guard from University of Miami. I like him a lot. Matt Lee, I think, is going day two, by the way. Okay. Anybody else? There's been a few. You know, UDFAs and UDFAs. I'm trying to think. Because there was a few that I was thinking about. Let me see if there's a wide receiver, because I have a list here. Let me see if I have any, because I don't think that I have a wide receiver with a UDFA grade. I have a lot of day three guys. Joshua Cephas, okay, possibility, but not really. I could give or take. Aju, I think, is interesting out of USF. He's interesting as a UDFA, only as a UDFA. But that's pretty much it. I'll compile a list for you. I'll put it on OnlyFans, so you'll get to see it, you know. But Jalen Phillips, the safety out of Clemson, absolutely, that's it. That's one for sure. A couple more questions. Fun question. Which fictional football player do you think would help this team? I'm going to say Deacon Moss, Michael Irvin from The Longest Yard. How about Lattimore from The Program? Okay. Nice, you know, versatile five tech. You know. Jonnell Jefferson, we don't need him. We have plenty of those. So I'm going to go with Lattimore from The Program. He has to get off the juice, though. Do you think that the new kickoff rule will be a factor in who they look to draft? Nope, because they have 5 million kickoff returners as of right now. Let me see. Somebody put a tweet that said from Brandon Bean, the Bills general manager, Brandon Bean says, you don't need to have a prototypical wide receiver one to have success as an offense or as a team. I agree with that, but it helps. Let me see. Any more questions? I think there is one more question. Will you draft Tua's brother in the 7th? Get him as a UDFA. 1,000,000%. Talia Tungavailoa can play football. Now, can he play in the next level? Not so sure. Is he better than Skylar Thompson? I'm pretty certain that he is. All right, guys. That's it. There is no more. We will do it again next week. And next week, I will have a special guest that you will be able to ask questions of. But till then.
Thanks for listening to OnlyFans Q&A Live.